I was so hungover when I recorded that. Did I like it?
How many of our conversations have started this way? I was so hungover.
Oh, that was a bad hangover that I had that morning. It was terrible. It was not enjoyable. I'm drinking non-alcoholics, for God's sake.
Oh, no, that's how bad it is.
That's how bad the
still
hangover
lingering.
Was. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go with our mighty magpie.
You're going with the mighty magpies. I'm going with batch brewing all day, because you can drink them all day.
All day, and, all night.
All Blacks beats Scotland all day.
Did you almost say South Africa?
Yeah.
You wish. Well, Eden Park happened.
We did. We still got that.
We've still got Eden Park, Tony.
We still got it. That's the one they wanted. That's what they were talking about us all year. But they just weren't good enough to win there.
For the love of God, don't schedule any more matches against the Springboks.
We'll schedule you there again in another 15 years. Hopefully when you're on a downslope. This is ridiculous. This is super, super rugby adjacent.
Oh, no.
Chat. I can't have it.
We don't chat rugby that early on this podcast.
No, exactly. You've got to get through a good 63 minutes of bullshit. Did I forget to do timestamps last week?
I don't know. Did you?
I got a bunch of... And I'm sure I put them in there. Maybe I did it incorrectly.
Once I used the reuse details button that YouTube has, it allows you to reuse thumbnails, descriptions, playlists, all that kind of stuff. So you don't have to type a whole bunch of stuff manually.
This is a bit of inside baseball. Yeah.
And it reused the timestamps.
Oh.
And I think I forgot to change them until after the fact and they didn't update. So someone was like, where's the timestamps? And I was like, they're there. They're like, they're wrong. Like, oh, sorry.
Sounds a lot like when I forget to edit the rugby starts bit. If I've forgotten to, you would have seen that already probably, the rugby starts little thing that pops up.
I wonder if they'll be able to see it with the very white clothing we're wearing.
Should I do it in black? No, I won't.
Put a black drop shadow on there.
Oh, it sounds like work.
It's only one extra thing.
We're wearing white.
We're in white. The teams in white did very well.
Yeah, they did.
That's rugby chat. No.
No, exactly. And I do have I do want to talk about that because I'm not a big fan of this fucking worrying about colorblind people.
You bastard. If there's one thing I've always known about you, it's your hatred of the colorblind.
Yeah, it really is. You can't see color, tough shit. Isn't it Beaumont's colorblind?
And he's maybe that's
it.
He's
the big pusher.
It's mostly men, and it's a certain percentage of men. Yeah. I did ask for feedback on it once. I was like, if you're colorblind, is it a big deal? And the main feedback was mainly like, yes, Ireland against Wales sucks because red green is hard. Pretty much all the other ones, they're like, nah, that's fine. But
red and green seems so different. I guess I'm not colorblind, so I can't.
That'll be why that works, yeah.
Yeah. Stop being such a
ableist,
majority fascist. Bastard. Is that we're going to get labelled because I don't show enough empathy to the colourblind?
You're going to get
But
canceled.
I just feel like I want to see the green of South Africa, the black of the All Blacks. The All Blacks in Scotland seems to make sense because it's...
And there's been a few French teams which have had very dark blue jerseys.
What are we doing?
This is so much rugby.
Stop it.
Oh my
just
goodness.
Stop it. For God's sake, I don't want to talk about it just yet. How was your week, Mark?
That was all right.
What did you get up to?
My dad's pretty crook.
Yeah.
Spent a bit of time with the old boy.
Uh-huh.
But he's still around. He might be watching this.
Good on you, Gazza. Gazza Maniac.
Yes.
I'm also, for some reason, a Roger Maniac.
Yes, I know. I don't know. He made that one up himself.
Roger Mania, Gazza Mania,
people called him Gazza Mania, and he added the Roger Mania from somewhere in the depths of his imagination.
Like Roger that, I'm out? Like,
maybe.
Roger that.
You're probably thinking like two along logical lines to find a connection here.
It won't. Yeah. No, if he is watching, that'll be great. His one of the greatest things about a 2 cents live stream is the
my dad on there. Eh?
The half time and the full time
referee reports.
Bloody and the amount of bloodies he get.
Yeah,
tell you what, he's playing bloody well. If he keeps this up, he might make the bloody All Blacks. We'll have to see. That's a long way down that track. Yeah.
Yes.
Your old man's got a bit of a voice like Ray.
Ray Warren.
Rabs. Zabba deceiver coming down the sideline.
Yeah. Like a few people who are not native English speakers who have met my father sometimes struggle to understand him on the first take.
Right.
Because he's got a slightly kind of heavier New Zealand accent than some other people.
Bloody. Bloody.
He uses a bit of New Zealand slang.
Yeah. Strike. Does he say strike a lot?
I don't know if I've ever heard that one.
What is he? What's his sort of go-to New Zealand euphemism? Not euphemisms, vernacular or little slang that he uses.
On the spot, I can't think of it. Oh, but I know that he says, he doesn't say Saturday.
Saturday. See, he's been playing well on a bloody Saturday. Maybe on a Sunday, Monday, won't be so good, but Saturday's not bad.
Mm.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Good as gold. He likes a bit of good as gold.
Tell you what, the river is pretty good this week. No complaints. 12 out of 20.
Good as gold.
12 out of 20. It's not been great. Look, there's been a few calls. It's a hard game to referee. It's a bit wet out there, but 12 out of 20.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, look, I've done it again.
What have you done?
I flapped it.
Oh, yeah, you have too.
Yeah, yeah. Comment below for a bit of Gazalove.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, Gaz is the man.
Yes.
I'm really enjoying your father and son catch-ups.
Mm.
They're much... You know what gets me? I'll tell you in a second, which I kind of appreciate as well.
Okay. I'm just going to watch you close that flap with your beer in the camera shot. If you can call it a beer. It's not alcoholic.
It tastes... Yeah, exactly. It just it tastes like beer, but it's just not quite beer. Mm-hmm. No, there was a week where they absolutely spanked us, and I think we got our biggest viewership. It was on your channel. It was like 30K or something like that. I was like, oh, that's pretty good for us. Not bad. And then your old man did a chat, and I got 50K, and I was like, he's clearly a much bigger draw card than I am.
Yeah, people have said, man, I wish you'd have your dad on instead of that guy with the hat.
Your dad needs a beanie.
That's true. You're just the guy with the hat. You could be not wearing a hat, and you're the guy with the hat.
Yeah, we've got two hats. There's always two hats in this.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, there's been a very few podcasts where I haven't worn the hat.
This is true.
Oh.
But yeah, no. Thinking of Gaz.
Good on you, Gaz.
How about your week?
Yeah, not too bad. What the hell have I done?
Good question.
Working. You know me, hard-working fella.
Hard-working Tony.
That's what's Tony doing? Nose he's to the grindstone. Exactly. You know him. He's a workaholic. I have been working. Said that very earnestly then, didn't I?
Just in case your boss is watching.
Well, Saturday. That was what got me into the shtick on Sunday morning.
See, all the games were Sunday our time. Yeah. They started at like 2 in the morning mine was 1:40, but I didn't watch that one.
So my mate Jonas has annually this thing, Jonas's Day of Fun. It's up north and everyone goes up there and brings their families.
He calls it Jonas's Day of Fun.
Yeah.
How very modest of him.
Yeah. It's in its 8th year. Okay.
It's too late to change it.
Yeah, everyone brings their families and stuff. He's been going. He's a legend. He's been organizing it for a long time. And,
I can't do that. I can't organize anything.
Well, he did it years ago. And I said, every year, this weekend, like first weekend of November, I'm putting on a barbecue family day up there. Come up, play some BYC. Don't come up. I don't care. But I'm doing
that's a cool tradition.
I'm doing it every single year. So some years I haven't been able to make it up, but I made it up this year. But at about 1, it got up there. Weather was got through a little bit of rain. The weather's been a little bit sketchy over the weekend, but pretty hot and muggy still.
Mm-hmm.
Still a lot of good weather out there. And got up there. I was having a great time and had a few beers, like just day drinking with my mates and kids around and stuff like that. So you're not getting absolutely smashed. But by the time Lydia had to drive home and I had half a dozen or so.
There you go.
And then I was like, I'm having a good time. This drinking thing. There's something to it. There's something good. And then I had polished off a bottle of wine.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, you know what? The only thing that can make this better is a few more drinks. And then I had like 2 or 3 whiskeys.
Oof.
And then I was like, oh, geez. I should go to sleep. And then I was like, oh. And it kind of struck me as I looked at my clock. I looked at the time. I was going, oh, fuck. 12:15. I have to be watching rugby at 4 a.m. And I was like,
this is not good.
And then I was like, oh, it's like a full morning of rugby. And then I woke up at 4, and for some reason, watching the All Blacks and Scotland, I felt okay during. But once that was over, the hangover hit me.
You could hold it off while the All Blacks were playing. But as soon as the All Blacks were done, you were just like,
I was in a world of pain. And when Australia and Italy were playing and England and France were playing, Fiji, they were really enjoyable games, but I was just watching on the couch, just like,
oh, God, like my hair's just pounding.
You're
like,
fighting.
I was in struggle street. Yeah. And I was just like, oh God, fuck me dead. And then I went to sleep afterwards and then watched a replay of the South African.
Did you know the result for that game?
South Africa France? Mm. No, I didn't. Awesome. I didn't. I watched it as if it was live. So I just got up. Like, I got up at about 12:30 and then just
chucked a replay on. Don't touch your phone.
Yeah. It was good. But yeah, but I was, yes, that was my worst hangover of the year.
Goodness me. And we're in November, so that's a fair stretch.
Or maybe second. Yeah, it's in the top two. There you go. I had one where I was at a work do and I was in Christchurch and had to work the next day and I was on like a conference floor with the bright lights and like, hi, trying to be pleasant to people. That sucked. I've got something in my pocket.
Money. Look at that. Sponsorship, buddy. We don't have a sponsor this week.
Because I was like, that feels like money, but I didn't realize you had money.
It's
in
a big
pants.
Week of rugby. We don't have any sponsors.
What are you doing, people?
This is your chance to buy us beers and we promote your goods or services.
Yeah, we could be talking about Ralph's Roofs. We could be talking about Sally's
Staples.
I was going to saliva. No, Sally's. Salvatore, Sally's, what's a product?
Salvation Army. I don't know.
We take money from the
Salvation. Yeah, I don't think we should take money from the Salvation. We take.
Yeah. That's the kind of podcast we are.
Yeah.
2 cents gets distracted. We take some charities.
Rugby podcast.
That's us. Yeah, so it was Struggle Street on Saturday morning, on a Sunday morning, but we got through it and there was a heck of a lot of rugby.
There was. For us, it was like 4:10, then 6:40, two games, and then there was like 9:10. And we'd missed Ireland against Japan at 1:40. I slept through that one because I was like, I don't see Japan winning. I'm not going to get up.
No. What was the score in that game?
41-10.
Okay.
Justified.
That man, he's a justified man. You're looking at one justified fellow right there. All right, where do you want to kick off then?
Scotland. They had some chances, Tony.
They had,
is this their best chance? I mean, they'll be cursing giving us a flipping lead again.
But I think the fact that they were able to come back to 17 all, they still had a good 20, over 20 minutes left.
The momentum was, so you texted me during that game.
I just said, fuck me.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what you said.
You text me back saying, we're imploding.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. So, that's what you said. Yes, you did. You got it word for word. What a memory.
It was like watching a slow-moving car wreck. Yeah, and I kept thinking, we'll be fine. And then everything that could go wrong went wrong. We'd finally get a penalty and we'd have a line out and then they'd get an intercept and they'd be right back down our end.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an insane amount of territory and possession they had.
Yeah.
And momentum.
Momentum is the key one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then in steps DMAC. But I'm going to say that the Scottish choked. I felt like they stopped playing a little bit. When they got themselves into the game, playing fearless rugby, throwing it all out on the line, just taking us on, being bigger in the physicality, and then it's almost as if the moment got to them a little bit. Finn Russell leaving the field was huge, and they lost their ability to find attacking shape and to really attack the game and win it. It felt as though the All Blacks feel more comfortable in the fire, you know, right in those last 10, 20 minutes when the game's on the line.
Do you think part of that is the fact that they had 17-0 down? It's kind of like, well, fuck it, might as well have a crack.
Yeah, well, that was what you were. Then you're going, well, that's what got us back into the game. Mm. That's what's making the other team suffer. That's what's making the other team hurt.
Mm.
Why would you go away from that? Mm. You know, you found the winning formula. And they looked good for so long. They were so massive in those first 25 minutes of the second half. That's the best I've ever seen a Scottish team play. They played pretty well
against England before.
Yeah, it's true.
They asked Gregor Townsend that. It's like, is that the best you've seen Scotland play? And he was just like, well, against England, we tend to play pretty good.
They play pretty good against England. But yeah, it was it was a chance for a huge, huge moment of history for them. And look, as an All Black fan, I would have been gutted. I would have been like really, really disappointed that the team had lost. But it's
because that's kind of like the, I mean, I guess them and maybe Italy. But Italy's not there yet. No. Like Scotland is the last big record that we've still got. Well,
the Welsh are a sign, sort of, if they, last time they won was 1953. So the 1953 against Wales, the Scotland record, every other
nation. Something about it being undefeated, though.
Yeah. It's, well, just, we're undefeated against Fiji, Samoa, Italy, every other country other than, who's the lowest ranked team that we've, that's beaten us?
Right now, maybe Wales. Yeah, Wales are 13th.
So they're...
12th, yeah.
And that 12th. Was in 1953.
Yeah. Above that them,
that the Eden Park like, record is like...
Mm.
The Eden Park record's a big one.
Mm.
So holding on to that is massive too. So, but that, they looked like they were just going to romp it at one stage. And we just had such poor discipline.
Three yellow cards.
I thought...
Leroy Carter's one is... just grade A dumb.
It's not grade A dumb, it's grade A dickhead as well. Like, I already like the guy. I think he plays, he's made every post a winner until this tour. I thought he was a little bit quiet last week, and this week he, you know.
Negative impact.
Very much a negative impact. And the fact that, like, it's instinctual.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a dickhead, it's instinctual to put your foot out and trip someone up.
Mm.
If you're not a dickhead, you don't do that.
Mm.
In that moment, he had a dickhead. I've been a dickhead plenty of times.
For sure.
He had a dickhead.
In the heat of the moment, you'd be surprised the stuff that you wouldn't normally do when you're level-headed. You get a bit of red mist. Some people punch, you know, some people gouge eyes.
Stuff
that you would never do. Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, that's just, it's just, you can't you're not going to get away with it. You're not going to get away with
all
it.
All those cameras and all that sort of shit.
The crowd is like,
bang for blood. And you would be, you know?
Yeah.
We don't want to see tripping in the game.
No.
And it was probably, it was completely unnecessary. Mm-hmm. We would have been able to clean up what was going on there. But yeah, not great from him. The second one with Satiti,
Satiti got one for the deliberate knock-on. I think it was the third. Savia got one just on the back of a bunch of penalties conceded, yeah.
Which was, in the first half, I thought that they were going to get a bloke in the bin because we had extended periods
of time.
We had
them on the yellow card warning and then they got out of it and then we went back and they gave away another penalty and I was like, That seemed pretty close. Yeah, I was like, maybe the warning has expired, but he never like flat out mentioned it.
Yeah, because they were just outside the 22, but they had exited and then we had returned.
Yes.
Yeah. The first half just, I was so...
They did have a couple of chances. Like, they got held up in the first half.
Yeah.
And then they had a knock-on, like, close to the line in the first half.
There were two held ups. But for me, like, I've heard people going, oh, look, all those chances. They had a lot of great chances and the knock-on over the line, all that sort of shit. But those held ups, to me, weren't amazing chances. There's held ups, and then there's those kind of held ups.
Okay.
There's the held up where the guy's going for the ball... and somehow...
Some miracle guy, some like miracle, when it just gets underneath it, gets his legs under it last like, second. Oh, like my Jordy God,
Barrett,
how's he done that?
Yeah. Jordy Barrett in the quarterfinal against
Ireland.
You know, just somehow gets underneath it. You know, those are incredible.
So you think this is just absorbing the pressure?
Having the mindfulness to be able to fall back and know that you're going to get... You've seen that play a little bit more. Like,
yes, with the goal line dropout these days, it should be a tactic teams use.
Yeah, so you hold him up. There's no way he's going to get down. It's almost like a maul.
Mm-hmm, you can just leave it.
Instead of like having to let him go when you hit the ground, you can just hold on to him.
And get out of jail.
Yeah. 100%. And I thought those were the two held up.
The Roygaard tackle on Darcy Graham, that's a genuine chance.
Yeah, he's gone in the moment of putting the ball down.
Yeah, he's a second away from scoring that try.
And if that was a held up, that would be one of those held ups, you know. But that was, he did all the hard work. He shrugged off like three or four players. We wouldn't be talking about D-Mac. We'd be talking about, what's his name?
Darcy Graham.
Yeah. I thought he had up and down game. He had some really good moments, but that would have been huge. And that was, they had all the momentum. They were at 17 all at that stage, weren't they? So yeah, far out.
They just needed to get in front. You feel like they just needed to get in front just to put that bit of extra pressure on the All Blacks, see if we collapse like a house of cards.
Mm.
You know? We might have still risen to the occasion and gone, fuck this, we're going to get back into it.
Indeed.
But On step DMAC.
I did not. Well, before DMAC, but just in that first half, I did not see it coming, eh? Like, I was.
We were comfortable.
I felt like we were all over the. We're playing.
I did some my of the, trick. I put $50 on the All Blacks. I was like, fuck, if Scotland beat us, I'm going to make more than $50 probably. Jeez, with the extra
you should have waited until 17 all, then put your 50 down.
Yeah, maybe.
You would have got way more money. But it was.
$50. I was like, 17 nil. I should have put 100.
Put the hells on it.
Yeah.
Darling, I'm sorry. but yeah, we got that that first try. I thought that Lord try for him, like, just eyes up.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Josh Lord. Yeah, galloping away. 2 good weeks from that guy.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And just shutting.
To back himself, like a guy who's had so little rugby, finally gets an All Blacks call up, to just be like, there's a gap here. There's nobody.
Colin Meading it with one
hand.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was fucking awesome.
Yep.
And. Yeah, it showed a decent turn of speed, and it just shut up the crowd as well. It really took the air out of the crowd, it which did. They certainly got it back later in the game.
For
that's
sure.
That's for certain. But, and then I thought we played relatively good rugby from that point on. And then we did get, Leroy Carter got sin-binned in that first half, and then still managed to score that second half. In that second try, I remember thinking at the end of the second half, I remember thinking just one more try before the end of the half, and we'll have this. And
we got it.
Yeah, Will Jordan done it. And I was like, well,
Scotland.
Another year, Scotland. Mm. Oh, well. And boy, did they show us a fair few things. Like, what do you think? They just didn't mentally show up, or do you think they just needed to be smacked in the nose a couple of times to really get into the fight?
It does seem to be a thing with the Scots. I don't know. They're a bit of a momentum-based team, eh? But something about having expectations on them.
Yeah.
Fucks with their minds.
Yeah.
Whereas 17-0 down, like I said, it's just like, well, you know.
Is that Townsend coaching? Like, obviously he's doing some good things, but does he need to?
Well, I mean, there are those that would say, like, you know, he's gotten this team to compete with the big boys in some of the games, but he lacks the consistency. And then there are some who would say he's squandered the best generation of Scottish talent in,
right.
You know, in such a long time.
Yeah. Not to like think Doohan was an interesting call.
Stain still got a try, but Doohan is a real kind of hot and cold player. I think part of it is like he always tears it up against England.
Yeah.
Some seems to love playing England, but then like in the big games in the past, I think like against South Africa and against Ireland, he's usually kept pretty quiet. So maybe there was the kind of thought that they would keep him quiet here.
I don't know. Like as a All Blacks fan, I was like, oh, you're not playing Doohan. Okay. Like slightly happy about it.
Mm.
We're thinking, Jesus, guy they're bringing up. The guy
Stain's
that,
a more complete player, but he's less.
Like a big high ball guy?
Yeah.
Wasn't a lot of high ball stuff.
No, that's the thing about that game that was really, like, I enjoyed watching it a lot.
Yeah, it was a cracking game.
And I'm a guy who enjoys all kinds of rugby. I enjoy those games that it's like fucking 7-6,
He had a boner all the way
David
through
David Pocock and Justin Tipperick fucking turnos for days Wales beat Australia 1 year, and I was like, this is a great game, and everyone's like, it was shit, Mark. And I was like, no, I fucking enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I was looking at this game, why am I enjoying this game so much? And then I looked at all the stats and I was like, oh.
Oh, they're running it.
We've kicked, like by the full time of this game, I think both sides had kicked it about as much as you would ordinarily see in one half of rugby.
Mm.
Just because the game is, I mean, I think especially since they've introduced the law about penalizing obstruction on the kick chase.
Mm.
It's, someone mentioned in the comments, like it's a kicker's game now.
Yeah.
Like there's so much benefit to kicking
that
why would you run it? But both teams were just like a little bit old school. Maybe that means Scotland and the All Blacks are a little bit behind the times. I don't know, but.
Plays more entertaining rugby.
It was quite entertaining.
Well, I think Finn Russell he can kick the ball certainly very well, but he's mercurial in all sorts of different ways. But he's a running passing 10, isn't he? And
he loves a cross kick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and so does Bodie. Similar kind of players in a lot of ways, really. And
players of a different generation, Tony.
Yeah, but they put on a real, real entertaining product. And I thought it was certainly a far, far better than the game what we got the week before. But a man who was on the field for less than 20 minutes, became deservedly the man of the match.
What a difference maker.
He's going to make your team of the week.
He's in my team of the week at fullback.
All right. You already recorded it.
It's already published. I published it as you were setting up the camera. I was like, publish.
Go watch it. We come back here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So did he make it? We're about 10 or 15?
At 15.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Right, you've had to put Sasha Feinberg and Magazola.
Good call. Yeah. I could have put Prisciantelli from the Argentinian game, but I went with Sasha. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Now they're not going to watch it. They're like,
oh, we already know the number 10. Bullshit. We don't care about the props. We're just going to care about number 10.
So there were three massive things he did.
50-22.
Which turned the entire momentum of the game. We were right under the
pump. Because we had, we
bloodied early on.
We'd almost turned the momentum when we got a penalty.
Yeah.
There was luck. I got a penalty at the breakdown. And then we kicked for touch. And then from the line out, Roy Gunn just passes it straight to Jack Dempsey, who's like, bye-bye.
Yeah, I was like,
and I was like, no, fucking, fuck's sake, yeah. We just got the momentum. But that was the chance, boys.
Yeah, that was our chance to get down there. Yeah, luck, I guess, that we celebrate like we've won the game.
Yeah, exactly. The kind of thing that we would give shit to players. We're like, oh, you dickhead celebrating like James Lowe the other week. Celebrating a freaking kick. Celebrating a turnover like you just won the World
but
Cup.
But it was huge because it was like...
the momentum of the...
a chance. And then we just got... that was the moment, because I believe it or not, throughout the whole game I was like, we'll be all right, and then that happened and I was like, oh geez.
Man, nothing's going right.
this could be it. He comes on, he does it incredible 50, was it from a turnover, and he gets a ball from Bodie, and then he just sees the space down,
hoofs it long
and he
right into
the right spot.
And his try.
Oh, insane.
Is freakish.
It's Kinghorn that he throws over the...
Yeah.
What's he weigh? 89?
He's a lightweight.
81?
There's very few people that he goes into the contact with thinking, I'm going to
dominate this guy. Maybe a bloody freaking...
He is surviving the tackle usually.
12 under 75. So like...
But... yeah, he kind of used his momentum against him. What martial art is that? Is that judo?
Judo. Like, because he's holding him off at the fend, and he's like, Kinghorn's like, I'm doing this for Scotland. Yeah. I'm putting everything into it. And then, what's the name of the number? Replaced the guy who came on to replace Finn Russell at that stage?
Oh, Tom Jordan.
And then he throws him, and Finn Jordan's going, I've got your back, pal. Throws him over, and then he's like, no, I don't. Shit. And then he manages to side spin, uses his body weight, comes within his fucking bee's penis.
Don't go into touch.
And his hand almost gets close, turns around, puts... You saw it. You don't need me to act it out.
It was crazy.
Wow. And I slapped my couch.
Clutch play.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yep.
Incredible. To be fair, his worst moment of the game was his conversion attempt. He shanks it.
I think he was just shattered. Like, he had to kick the goal. He almost ran the clock all the way to the end. He didn't have a full time to do his routine. They maybe should let Bodie take it. I don't know.
Yeah. He looked... I've never seen him look more battered and bruised.
Yeah, he was battered, all right.
Somebody made a comment on my low effort review saying he looks like some dude. And I looked it up and it was some video game character that has a big band across his head and looks all bashed up. And I was like, yeah, he does.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's like he's cosplaying that guy. Like, I don't know. Someone comment below what we're doing.
The conversion attempt was not great.
No, it wasn't
great.
But
the penalty.
Fucking awesome.
Not too long later, that was the clutch moment. So two clutch moments from DMAC and the 50-22.
The smiling assassin.
What a guy.
What was he playing? Was he playing fullback at that stage?
Yeah.
Do we put him at fullback?
That's all the chat ahead of the England game.
Him at fullback, put Jordan back to 14. Leroy, you get a spell.
Because Caleb Clark's out.
Is he?
With the HIA, yeah.
Fuck.
Maybe bring in Caleb Tangitau from the All Blacks 15.
He played well, didn't he?
Yeah, so I don't know, but would you want to give him his debut at Twickenham? Don't know. If you're good enough, you're good enough. I mean, Mark Talia made his debut against Scotland the last time he played them.
Do they keep Leroy in and just say,
yeah, hey, maybe just keep Leroy.
Just said, hey, mate, well... we believe in you. You were dumb last week, but here's a chance to have a big game.
But
that's a loss losing Caleb.
Yeah.
Caleb does get some bad breaks with his injuries, doesn't he?
One thing for Scotland is their scrum was good. Like, I thought we were going to batter them. Mm. We didn't get that. Like, we didn't get the ascendancy at scrum time that I thought we were going to fold these guys.
Looked pretty even, eh?
I thought we could, like, you know, do what the Springboks do, fold them in the set piece, go for the mauls like we did against Argentina the time we beat them. Like,
just penalty farming.
I thought we could have. But it didn't happen at all.
We didn't have any extra juice.
Did not have the juice to beat the Scots in that regard of the game. So, yeah, it was...
Yeah, that, so that was parody that they got there.
Mm, which is all they needed. All they needed was parody. They just needed parody to let their backs do their thing.
Mm, 100%.
But yeah, with the three yellow cards, with the momentum they had, I feel like you're not going to get many better chances to beat the ABs in that one.
No, that's about as good as you're going to get.
Mm.
Well, it's not the strongest All Black team of all time.
For sure.
You've got one of your best teams of all time.
Mm.
And we got three yellow cards, and we had a period where you guys had us under a tremendous amount of pressure.
I felt like when Savio went off, like it's weird because in the post-match, Savio was like, oh, the way the boys, you know, the leaders stood up while I was off the field. I didn't think so. Watching it, I was like, we are at sixes and sevens.
We were just scrambling.
We were just holding on for grim death.
From the All Black perspective, I thought we actually, I know they scored two tries during that period,
mm.
but I thought for the most part, considering how many opportunities they had, I thought we defended it very, very well. I thought we showed a lot of heart. I thought our defensive structures were very good a lot of the time. And just our ability to get up off the floor and keep on going despite what felt like inevitable points that were going to come against us. They just didn't give up. And it's almost been three games in a row right now where I really got like been copping a bit of shit over here, but they do seem to be a team with character to be able to stand up in the deepest inferno possible and perform in the last 10 to 15 minutes, which is very All Black like, which is, you know, we used to see them, you know, us play with our food with teams for like 60, 65 minutes, maybe not look like we're under that much pressure, but you know, the score would be within a try a lot of time. And then we just go, okay, see ya, boom, just be able to take our game to another level. It's not quite that, but we are able to be able to in these incredibly tense situations, highly pressurized. If we could have lost the last three games that we've been in, it's been super tight going into the last 10, 15, and the last three games we've played, and we've pulled it out of the fire relatively convincingly each time. We've really stepped up to the plate.
They finally turned that page on the end of the game, because it's been a real Achilles heel for Razor's side for ages.
Yeah.
But we're getting back to that All Black strength of old.
So and they looked great in the first half. Discipline was shit, obviously.
Yeah.
But what we're all gagging for now is just a full 80-minute complete performance. Like, there's no perfect game of rugby, but we just seem like we're so hot and cold. Mm. Like, we just completely go off the boil and put ourselves under so much pressure and make so many bad mistakes and just seem to be and pin down our end for such long periods of time against every opposition we play. Mm-hmm. So if we can somehow sort that out, get that attacking shape seems to be getting there, but keep it more coherent and together for a longer period of time, like the full 80 would be a dream. There's a team there that could be pretty special.
Mm.
Have we seen a full 80 out of Razors lot yet?
Nope. We have not.
Your phone's going on.
Sorry.
It's okay, mate.
Put it on mute.
I'll forgive you. So that's 24 games in without a full 80 minutes. Well, they're still winning.
Well, there's a grand slam.
A lot of the Poms and Brits are giving a shit about that. Like, they call it a grand slam, like, kind of mockingly. Like, what else are we supposed to call it? Like, you don't... Because a grand slam for them is you beat... France as well, don't you? You have to break the whole...
Well, you have to win all your Six Nations games.
That's the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
But we just consider it... We're not playing France, but we consider it the home nations.
Yeah. Like,
It's really the teams from where we originate a lot of the time. Like,
yeah, the teams where our roots and our European roots largely lie.
Sullivan, Irish.
Morgan.
Welsh. Exactly. McKenzie. Scottish.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, those guys still fucking call the like Fijian South Sea Islanders. Holy fuck. Who says South Sea Islanders?
The Battle of the South Seas.
Oh, fucking hell. That's colonial as fuck. Just say Pacific Islands.
The South Sea Islanders. They call us Antipodeans.
Yeah, that one's all right.
You don't mind that.
But South Sea Islanders?
To be fair, they are Antipodeans to us.
I suppose so.
It just means the opposite, really, doesn't it?
But South Sea Islanders?
Yeah, I never really thought about it.
Every time I hear it, I'm just like...
Do you feel like
we are from that neck of the woods? Not necessarily. We're adjacent, and nobody here would ever be like, I'm just going to go have a tour of the South Seas.
South Seas.
Nobody says that.
I went to a film and television school called South Seas Film and Television.
Okay. Did you have any South Sea Islanders as your classmates?
I did.
There you go.
Well, I had Pacific Islanders.
There you go. See, that's the same thing.
I know, but I didn't call them South Sea Islanders.
Nobody calls them South Sea Islanders in this part of the world.
South Seas Film and Television.
It's like saying the fucking Orient. Like, I'm just going to go tour the Orient. Like, what the fuck?
Do you remember Veggie Noodles had chicken, beef, and Oriental
flavor? Yeah, Oriental flavor. They don't do Oriental. We used to have Eskimo pies.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not called that anymore. It's an old term, which has been phased out in most parts of the world.
I didn't look at the microphone levels. Are they okay?
Yeah, they're on 7. I checked them before.
Well done.
Fantastic. Been doing this a wee while.
Fantastic, Mark. Great work.
But yeah, anyway, that was we keep the record against Scotland.
And just Mackenzie, DMAC, definitely of Scottish origin.
There you go.
Yeah, sorry. He's definitely Scottish, I'd say. Not obviously not Scottish. He's not Scottish, but name like that and from the... He is... He plays for the Chiefs, but he's from the Deep South.
Getting beaten by a Mackenzie in the Deep South is our Scottish-rooted connection.
Yeah.
Highlanders country.
That's right.
We beat them. Fantastic. Record remains. It was a good chance, Scotland. I'm impressed with your scrum, but
you were brave.
Sorry.
Apologies. You kind of feel a little guilty, don't you?
Like you said, like if they'd beaten us,
I
would have felt like fuck. But then I also would have seen them celebrating.
You would have been like, you would have
been like warm fuzzies.
Tip
to
of
you,
the cap,
you bastards.
Tip of the cap.
Good bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like when I lose to South Africa, I'm just like, no, shit.
Speaking of South Africa,
yes,
they beat France,
and the French were like, "No, sacré bleu!"
Yep, French fans have been remarkably good about this one.
Have they?
Yes. Well, at least the English-speaking ones that I've been seeing comments of. Maybe they've got the French-speaking ones who have been ranting. I don't know.
I saw a lot of irritation on Twitter about the red card, and I presume it was, even John Smith was like, this is bullshit, they need a proper review for this, and I presume a lot of that was posted during the game, because I don't think I've heard a lot about it since the game. I'm glad that it didn't become the defining moment of the game. But for you, was it a straight red?
I think if there's any wrap of the left arm, if there's even a hint of a wrap,
yeah,
they 100% mitigate that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
But because it just looks like a
arms. Short. Yeah. He tucked his arms, and also, like, the guy loses height. Absolutely. But what's the name of the bloke?
Diaka.
He had eyes on the guy, the unimpeded view of the person. Mm. Like, he could see what was going on. He didn't have it. It wasn't obstructed or anything like that. But I was still surprised it was straight red.
Yeah, I would have thought, send it to the bunker. They probably 20-minute red it, and then nobody's like, even I think Russie in the post-match, he was like, it's a red. But he's like, maybe it could have been a 20-minute red.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be one of those ones that gets mitigated.
Like, these days, full reds are generally like punching, fucking eye gouging, you know, like elbowing.
Well, they went and they sent it to a... Because what's his name? His Gardner was trying to talk his way out of it almost. Going, oh, there's a loss of height. Then he said, can I see it at full speed? And actually at full speed it looks worse. And like very few hits look worse at full speed.
I thought at full speed, like he doesn't have much time to react there.
At full speed it just looked to me like he was just like, boom, clobbered him. You know, like direct tucked shoulder to the head.
That's the reason they went full red, because it was always illegal. So the height doesn't matter. Like if he had tucked his arm, like Sonny Bill Williams style, and just fucking clobbered into him, whether he's standing, jumping, on his knees, it doesn't matter, because it's always illegal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I still think it was, I was yellow all day, off field review 20 minutes, I thought was going to happen. And I was like, oh. Ooh.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, this sucks. It's going to be a talking point of the game. No,
And then
that's what I don't miss about, like, the old red cards, is that, like, as soon as there was one, especially if it's in the first half, it's just like that is the entire, like, every comment is just about the card. I hate that, like, when the game boils down to that one moment.
But it wasn't. I really thought that the French from that point on could just lean on them and then eventually...
They tried. Start of the second half, they were just like push, but couldn't land a blow.
No, they felt like their attack. It was a good game, but they had some great moments. But their attack felt a little bit clunky.
I'm not sure. Do you remember there was a time like when the French beat us? when Intermac looked like the fucking best 10 in the world.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Didn't look like that in this game.
He didn't.
He's had a big injury since then, and I don't watch enough of the top 14 to know if he's kind of like, you know, like Lacanio Arm looked like the best midfielder in the world, got injured, never quite got back to that level. Like, there's some guys who just get a big injury and never quite look the same. I don't know if anyone watches the top 14, watching him week in, week out. But just in that game,
maybe
in particular,
the fact he was playing outside DuPont for most of that time was the thing that really
helped. That's a big difference maker.
But
as well,
I felt like he kept on running himself into space where he didn't know what to do next and would either just shuffle the ball on to somebody in a worse position or take contact in a relatively passive way and make a negative impact in terms of meterage. Passing game wasn't great. The kicking game wasn't amazing.
I mean, they had that, like the Ramos one, the first try, the dink through for Penno. I was like, oh, that was sweet. Was nice. And they tried it again. And that didn't work. They tried it again. It didn't work. And they tried the left wing. It didn't work. And I was like, oh, you maybe need to try something else. And they did get their second try. That was a pretty sweet one through the hands.
Yeah. I like the grubbers. I think Bill Bra is a great man for
100%. It's almost like a cheat code in the Six Nations. Dude scored like 8 tries in 6 games.
Yeah, without really just touching the ball for a second and putting it down.
Yeah, like I'd always look at his run meters and it'd be like 12. I was like, what the fuck? It's because he got it, he kicked it, chased it, grabbed it, scored. He only had the ball for 2 meters.
Yeah, I thought the other massive crucial moment in that game was his yellow.
Another one-handed intercept.
Because at that point it was like, there's 66 minutes to go or something. It's 66 minutes in. You're like, well, they've only got another 10, maybe 60, 61. And they've only got 10 minutes to play. Now it's 10 minutes even. And then it seemed to really give the South Africans a lift. And then they just had to get through another 10 minutes of being one man down. And they fucking did it well. They did it really. The South Africans were immense. Like, in terms of their ability to stay in that fight, not lose their heads, and continue to like be incredibly physical, fatigueless. Like they were really
Rusty
good.
Still manages the bench like a motherfucker. Like the other coaches, I don't know, maybe it's just because he's got such a plethora of depth as part of it, so he makes subs and they look good, but he still does things which it's not always an easy one to pull the trigger on that. Like his loose head prop, Bowen Fenter, who's a fairly inexperienced guy, was starting to get tired. 32 minutes, he's just like, bro, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull you. And
whereas
like,
Razor refuses to take Cam Roygaard off.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. And like halftime, they get the red card and he has to say to his captain, Sia Khaleesi, mate, we need another lock on the field. We're going to bring on Nokia because Lutz got a red card.
Yeah.
Like in your 100th test, this could be like your moment in the sun. You just need to cop one for the team. And he's just like, he said in the post match, like, you know, I don't want to go off, but if it's for the team, I'll do that. And like, not every coach will do that. Sometimes they've got to manage the guy's egos.
Yeah. But there doesn't seem, and I think one of the special things about Sia Khaleesi is he probably understands it from the team point of view.
For
as
sure.
Well. It's like,
but it's not easy because those guys, those athletes at that level are unbelievably competitive motherfuckers.
Basically, like, he's got a choice between him or Steph Dutoit.
Yeah.
You know, so he's like, well, I'd rather have Peter Steph Dutoit.
I think he figured because he can bring on Esther Hazen as well, who's like a flanker midfielder these days. He's just like, well, that's our hybrid guy. He can pack down on the scrum when we've got a scrum, and he can get into the back line when we've got the back line. But so the guy that needs to go is the captain in his 100th. He's just got to do it. He's just got to suck it up, and he does.
And the French were rabid. The whole crowd was just so desperate for blood in that game. Mm. They had everything against them. And I really thought, geez, they're going to have a boil over here. And I was cynically thinking, you're going to walk away with a 2-loss season like us too. Suck on that. But certainly didn't. They've only got one loss so far this year, don't they?
They lost at Eden Park and they lost to Ellis Park to the Wallabies.
Oh, yeah, they do have a 2-loss. Suck on that. We've got a 2-loss, eh?
We lost to the Box by a record margin and we lost to the Pumas.
Yes, we're just as good.
Yeah. Beating Scotland by 8 points is the same as going to Paris and beating the fucking French, like, 32-17.
Well, it looked bloody convincing. And there was a couple of games like that this weekend where it looked really, really convincing at the end of the game, but the scoreboard didn't really tell the true picture of the game.
But, man, the French,
the way they
getting bossed at scrum time as well. Like, I know they had some young props, but I mean, the box were a bunch of props as well.
Yeah. And it's.
And their mall, Malcolm Marks.
Yeah, yeah. It just seems unfair. It's almost like, what? What are they doing?
He's got too many good front rowers. Stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. What are they feeding these guys?
Biltong.
Biltong with some special sauce.
It's unbelievable. Like,
they are absolute fucking tanks, man. Like, it's a little bit, got a big it's pack a little bit as well. Outrageous, just the way it just seems to go.
Yeah. Their maul was cracking. Grant yeah. Williams, he's got a wee snipey snipe in his arsenal. Oh, yeah,
that was a lovely little try that he scored.
Wee show and go, and the French yeah. centre kind of hook, line, and sinker.
But then
Kobus Reinach's
try was fantastic.
That was the one that kind of arrested the momentum for the French, because it had been all France up until that point.
100%. And it was a great try.
Great try.
Fantastic. He did a chip and chase, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chip over the top. Chip Penneau. And then just like went over for the try.
And gassed him. Well, it just, you know, had the wheels to get it done. But then, yeah, it's an absolute gluttony of riches they've really got there, is it?
Yeah. Sasha missed a few penalties.
Yeah. Well, they were going up in threes at the beginning. And then he lost two in a row.
Yeah, he did. He got to miss one. I was like, oh, he's going to get a second chance, so it doesn't matter. Then he missed that one. I was like, oh.
And you thought,
Maybe France here.
Yeah, you thought maybe it's France's night. But not to be. Do we think there were signs of rust from the French? Like, it's their first... haven't actually seen this French team properly since the Six Nations.
That's right.
Like the props they used
were their props that came down here.
Yeah.
So they're really low cap starting props. What was concerning is their experienced props who came off the bench were equally dominated.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. The French team in its A team form without Dupont, without their starting props and whatnot, still hasn't played for a while, but still got dominated.
Yeah, well, then it's nice to see. I thought Ramos looked pretty good for the most part. How do you try and get BLBRA on the ball more?
Like, yeah,
he's got such wheels, but I feel like he was almost underutilized and almost trying too hard to get involved in the game, which led to maybe that.
Yeah, in that period at the start of the second half when the French had the box under pressure. I know there was a couple of times when they had both wingers out on the same side. Like Penneau would come, or BLBRA would come right wing, or Penneau would come left wing, but they just couldn't land the blow. All they ended up getting from that entire period was one three-pointer.
Yeah.
And that was just admittedly like, oh, well, just Jesus, we can't score.
Yeah.
So let's just take the three. Mm. We've been turning the screws and getting no pay from it.
You almost want to see him on more like inside cut balls and stuff like that to see how he can, you know, cut through the midfield a little bit. I almost love to see him what he looks like at fullback.
He does play a bit of fullback at club rugby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got serious wheels. Does he have a good boot on him? Penno's got a great boot.
I'm not sure BLBRA's boot's the best, but with Ramos there, I don't think they're going to play him at fullback. They've got no
option there. What's the deal with Dupont?
I think December. But too late for international rugby.
What's wrong with him?
We had that big ACL injury from the Six Nations. Right. It's horrendous.
Hopefully he comes back and he doesn't miss
a firing ball and ready to go. But man,
it'd be painful for him sitting on the sidelines going this.
Watching that one. But yeah, despite the red card,
despite the chat going in, all that sort of thing. I heard a thing saying, and I actually heard this from the Egg Chaser guy. What's Tim?
Tim
does a good job.
There's this one guy who always comments on my videos. His picture is like his avatar, Sean Connery. He always calls me Tim. He's like, I don't know, Tim. Like, you're being a bit soft with this stuff. Like, I'm not Tim. Tim's the other guy.
You know, one of the most critical comments we get on this guy, you guys talk too much shit. Back to Egg Chasers for me. I get that on the podcast.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. Back to Egg. You need to be more like Egg Chasers. Give South Africa full credit.
I think he was he at the South African game?
I think he was in France, yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, he made a very dramatic video about rugby being better, but it was an interesting point he made. It was the fact that...
Oh, I saw I didn't watch it, but I saw it was suggested to me. It said rage bait alert or something. Yeah, I didn't watch it. What was it about?
Basically, the fact that one of the French players, I can't remember who, had said the South Africans took the World Cup from them. You know, they took the game from them, which is just, you know, the South Africans took the game from us in Wellington. You know, they took the game by the scruff of the neck. They got it done.
Yeah.
But being French and translations being what they are, someone's a rugby journalist translated that deliberately as South Africa stole the Rugby World Cup from us.
Bit of rage bait journalism.
So just to say, oh, they're super bitter about it. They're talking about the Ben O'Keefe shit and the fact that they felt hard done by and robbed and all that. Right. So they spun it that way. And apparently other YouTubers and other... I didn't see it. The only place I saw it was on Tim's thing, but I probably don't read as much as I should about. Well, not.
I hate rage bait journalism. It sucks.
Who's although Ben Smith, not the rugby player, the journalist, cracks me
up. He makes a career out of rage bait.
Yeah, and they just fall right into it constantly.
Yeah, if I see rage bait stuff, I feel like I usually identify it.
Yeah,
it's funny. Then go, I'm not going to take that seriously, or I'm just not going to read
it. Yeah. I think there was one recently, like, was like top 10 most successful teams in the world, and it had like England, Wales, Ireland, and they did, and it got its stats by saying how many like Six Nations they'd won and all that sort of stuff, how many of these competitions they'd won, and it didn't have the All Blacks or South Africa on the list.
Nice. That's a list you can take seriously.
It was so funny. It just like there's clearly rage bait, but the hate on it was funny. Identify the guy has done it for engagement, and you have just given him exactly what he's looking for.
People do it. People say people do it on Reddit. They're like, "Oh, this guy has written this article," and it's like you just people will comment. You're just giving it attention.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Clicks.
It gets clicks.
It's the world we live in.
Yeah, I did it once when my YouTube channel was really early on.
What'd you say?
Maybe a year in or 2 years in or something. And I wrote an article. I didn't write shit. I'd fucking make videos.
Yeah.
I titled the video like, I think I said, "Why are the Australian teams so bad?" Like about Super Rugby.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And a few of my viewers were like, "This is not why we come to your channel, Mark."
Oh, yeah. Be better than this.
Be better than this. But don't go lowest common denominator.
All right.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'll try to take more high road stuff.
But the thing about it is, YouTube encourages you to.
It really does to make
rage
all bait. Internet, like, you know, Twitter, all those social media platforms.
And at the end of the day, like, you this is your income, and you need people to click on your shit, and to get them in, like, it'll tell you, like, you'll do an A/B test, and you'll write, you know, great performance from the All Blacks, and then great performance from the Springboks, as a title, which is a pretty boring title, or Springbok shit on everyone.
Yeah, true.
You know, and then which one's going to take
it? I tried it. I'll see the results. I tried an A/B test with Ireland's win over Japan.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the game, we'll get to that in a minute, but the commentators were kind of like, "Oh, this is a bit shit. We only beat them 41-10. We're a bit clunky." And I was kind of like, "Oh, that's... Well, you've just beaten them 41-10. That's not... Like, you're acting like you lost."
It's not
the All Blacks, like, fans in the past. When we would beat teams, like, we only beat them by 30 points.
Yeah, exactly.
I did, like, one A/B test was like, "Not good enough?" Question mark. Based on what the commentators had said. And then I just put one, which is like a standard, like, Ireland versus Japan review. I'll have to see which one does better.
It's very, it very much has encouraged you to be flattering towards South Africa as well.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
There's a South African fan base is massive.
It's huge. If you were an offshore content creator and just solely made videos about South Africa, how great South Africa was.
There's heaps of South African content creators as well, though.
But I think they almost appreciate foreign content creators.
I think everybody likes
there's that sycophantic thing. Like,
we do it in New Zealand as well. Like, anytime there's an actor who comes to New Zealand, it's like, "What do you think of New Zealand?" And they're always like, "It's great."
Yeah,
they're not going to go, "It's fucking boring," for this women's football team from Spain who were like, "Fucking Taranaki's boring. There's nothing to do." And then the media was like, "We've got a town hall.
Oh, that's a nice coastline."
Yeah, you can go surfing. Oh,
Mount Taranaki. That's one of the only places you can go surfing and skiing in one day. It's like, are they going to do that?
Yeah, no. They're a bunch of young women who want to go partying.
No, they're a bunch of young women who are there for football tournament.
Football and want to have some fun in their downtime. They don't want to go hunting. Fucking pig hunting.
Go on, stick a pig.
Everyone does that. Everyone likes foreigners coming to the country and saying nice things.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you do see that. I see that when New Zealanders go to other parts of the world and go, "Yeah, what do you think of Singapore?" And they're like, "Yeah, Singapore, fucking clean, eh?"
Yeah. Everyone likes it. Yeah, it's not unique. True. But the rugby audience in South Africa is massive. That's just a fact.
Aye, aye, Captain. That's why I love South Africa and all South African people.
We should go there one day.
Yes, I'll see you there.
We'll take a rugby trip. We'll go for the greatest rivalry next year.
People will know who you are and be like, "Who's the fucker with the hat?"
Oh, yeah, true. Who's that fucker in the hat?
Who's that fucker in the hat? Yeah.
I think they'll like you.
Oh, thanks, man.
You're a rugby fan.
I'll carry your bags.
They appreciate a good rugby fan.
Indeed. We'll see you there next year.
I've been offered accommodation for that. People emailed me like, "Oh, Mark, come stay at my place."
See, you should do that.
I just need to convince my wife.
Oh, what, that you can? Would you take your wife?
Fuck yeah. She's like, "Oh yeah, you just go to South Africa. Leave me with the kids for like a fucking month."
Oh, far out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's going to be a wee while.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
Indeed.
But yeah, well done, South Africa.
Fantastic.
That's a crazy...
It was a great performance.
To beat them, like, if you had said beat them 32-17 before the game, you'd be like, ooh, probably closer than that.
Mm.
If you'd said beat them by 32-17
with a red card
for half the game, you would have got you having a laugh.
You are joking.
No.
They really poured it on in the last 10.
Yeah.
Sad to see the French drop their heads and let a few in.
I suppose so.
That's what it is.
Ireland beat Japan 41-10.
I did not watch that game. Tell me about it.
It was a bit... I mean, Ireland were a bit clunky. They were.
To be fair to the whinging assholes, they were rough.
They started like a bit clunky. Like they were obstruction lines, line out was a bit shit. It was like, this is just not clicking.
So they played in a shitter against us, and then they played a shitter against Japan.
Against Japan, but then as the game went on, they started to find their groove. Okay. I feel like they needed to play that game first, and then they needed to play us this week. Just gone.
Mm.
That would have worked out a lot better.
We could have gone back to back them in Scotland.
Obviously, that's not going to work with Chicago. Chicago had to be either at the start or at the end.
Yes.
Because of the travel factor.
Aye, aye.
But Ireland started looking like a team who just got off a plane from Chicago and had blooded a bunch of new guys. It was not...
Well, that's a factor with the All Blacks, too. They just flew
on. Well, I think we got on like a private fucking jet.
Yeah, we did.
They flew out the same day. I don't know if the Irish did.
I think they went straight to the airport and got on the chartered their own thing.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're like the fucking, they were comparing themselves to like some NBA team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The NBA player probably earns more than the entire New Zealand Rugby Union does. But anyway.
The NBA teams get jets flying around. Anyway, I'm sure it was great for the environment.
Mm.
But
yeah, Ireland across the course of the game, surprise, surprise, were too good for Japan.
What?
Yes.
This Japan team? Under Eddie Jones?
Yeah. Andrew Porter got a try.
No way.
Tommy O'Brien, the new winger, got a try. Jacob Stockdale was playing. Remember, he was like one of the best wingers in the world back in 2018. Still hanging about. Usually with James Lowe and Mac Hansen there, he can't get a gig, but he got a gig in this game. Got a try, chalked off, which is unfortunate. But he was busy around the park.
Yeah. But what else is there? The Japanese showing any sort of signs of life?
Yeah. They still got a bit bossed at scrum time. They still, they scored a try. I think it was a maul try.
Still look slightly too small in some cases.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
But Warner Dern still looks good. And they've got Wales coming up, who's going to be a team much more in there.
Wow, that's a game.
That's a game.
That's a contest.
That is going to be a contest. Yeah. Just like in Seinfeld, the contest.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you the master of your
domain?
We're
both winning the contest during this podcast, as neither of us have been forced to masturbate.
This is true.
If you're wondering why I'm saying that, is because that is the reference to the contest.
If you're old and watched Seinfeld,
it's
back
about
in the day,
them refusing to masturbate and see who could go the longest without masturbating.
But
they weren't in the same room.
No.
At the time.
Talking about rugby.
Yeah, exactly.
I was struggling to remember what else happened in that game. But yeah, I just remember it was clunky from Ireland. The commentators were negative. I watched it way after the fact.
I don't think anyone's tuning in going, I'm just desperate for them to talk about it. Oh no, there'd be some Irish people going,
yeah,
I wonder what they're talking
about. They still played some of the veterans. Like Andy Farrell's getting a little bit criticised for not blooding new guys. Like he still started Caelan Doris. Tyke Byrne was back after that red card. Andrew Porter still started. But he still also gave like one of the midfielders was on debut. The right wingers... Tommy O'Brien,
that's
he's still
one,
fairly new.
That's my one criticism of Farrell, is he just doesn't rotate enough. I know it's a real difficult balance, and you can absolutely lose games based on selection. But just the long term overall well-being and longevity and depth of your team is impacted massively. And I think going back to the 2023 World Cup, that there is an argument to be made that those players had too much in the legs by the time they made it to the quarterfinals. Like the best ever Irish team of all time versus an All Black team that they'd beaten multiple times in the last 2 or 3 years, weren't able to get it done.
Some people are also saying part of the criticism comes down to how well Ireland have played in the past and they're not living up to that team.
Ah, I think they're
I mean recent past, like, you know, even the Andy Farrell team which won the Six Nations came on New Zealand tour and beat us kind of thing.
They're certainly not in the doldrums, but I think they've gone off that amazing peak. I think I've seen this a ton of times.
One thing which some people have said, it might be true, is that Ireland in the last two World Cup campaigns have been guilty of peaking like a year before the World Cup.
So maybe they're
a little bit clunky now in the hopes of getting it right in 2027.
I thought they were seriously average in that 2019 quarterfinal. Will be absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean the year before they beat us, remember? Yeah, so that's peaked right. The year before a World Cup.
Yeah.
Their tour to New Zealand, was that 2023?
That 2023, they were world champion potential team.
Yeah. You know. But was their tour to New Zealand, was that the year before? Was it 2022?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they again peaked before a World Cup.
Mm.
Maybe. Don't know.
So they're going to peak next year?
Well, maybe they'll peak in 2027. Maybe he's going to get it just
right.
What year
are we in? 2025.
So still got next year and the year after.
All right, okay.
But yeah, well done, Ireland.
We're in the middle of it all.
You beat Japan. England also beat Fiji.
It was an entertaining old game.
Mm-hmm.
The end score was massive, 38-19.
38-18.
So you think, oh, okay, they just.
But it was tap for tap for a while.
Oh, for a long period of that game. At halftime, it was very, very tight. The Fijian scored some fucking cracking tries.
The hooker got two.
Munts was playing really, really well. Mm. Like, was kicking like dog shit. But, I mean, goal kicking like dog shit.
They didn't get any conversions. None from three.
Yeah,
but he got a penalty.
Which would have put more scoreboard pressure on the whole situation, but scored some great tries, had some fantastic, fantastic passages of play. Oh, it was great to see old Peter...
Peter Kasawakula. He's gone grey.
He's super grey. He looks like Grandpa out there. But he fucking looked really good in patches. Looked really, really dominant and just... Got such lovely hands.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't even supposed to be playing.
He was a basketballer, right?
Right. Yeah. He was a late inclusion. He was only an injury replacement, before kickoff.
He was so good.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed
watching
him.
That was his debut for Fiji. Remember, he played for the All Blacks.
Some lovely Fijian rugby in there, and that was a moment.
They did score two tries from their hooker.
I texted my British mate going when things were tight, still in the second half. Going,
is he English British or is he Scottish?
You know, he's English, sorry. And then I texted him going, come on, Fiji. And then from that point on, fucking England pumped them. And I was like, I think I ruined that. It's all on me.
You see Henry Arundel with the fucking gas from that Marcus Smith kick? He was miles behind.
Yeah, it was incredible. And
he'd only just come on like 2 minutes earlier and he was just like fucking afterburners.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Very quick. Unusual to see Fijians get outpaced.
Yeah, I don't know
by
if those
an English winger.
Those two guys.
I mean, Jason Robinson was pretty quick back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they both thought they had it covered. They were moving, you know, pretty quick. But I don't know if they were top speed. But jeez, mate, look at the flash. That's quite fucking incredible. Yeah, the yellow card from the high tackle, the taking in the air. Did you see that?
Robert Tamanda, yeah.
That was a sickening one.
That was dumb. That he was lucky.
It was super lucky. Super lucky. That was just
he hit him full tilt, man.
Full tilt, and he fucking did a bloody double flip in the air. And just,
he hit Faye Wabosso in
and
the
Faye
air.
And Faye Wabosso, to his credit, just got straight back up on his feet. Like, what happened?
Yeah. Got him like a freaking meerkat. Like, what's going on?
It was spectacular.
If that had been a red, I wouldn't have been too surprised. No. I think they deliberated about that for a while.
Yeah.
Because I seem to remember it was just before halftime.
Yeah.
And then they were still reviewing it after halftime.
Yeah, it seems to be those ones where there's a dramatic difference in height, which are the super dangerous ones.
Mm.
Because, what's the name? Ravu Tamanda was running full clip.
Yeah.
To get under it, but didn't launch himself in the air.
And Faber Bosa got pretty high.
Faber Bosa got fucking high, clips them,
like boom, knees.
And then it's just like,
yeah.
So if, but if the Fijian bloke, jeez,
Rabotamanda
gets high, then that's just more.
It's just a contest in the air.
It's just a contest in the air, and yeah. they kind of flap into each yeah. other. But Feoboso just got so high and just spun her. Imagine being that guy's.
He's lucky he didn't land on his head, man. Yeah. That was terrible.
That was absolutely spooky, spooky shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Terrifying. But credit to the English for showing their class in the end. But it was a contest, a big contest. Mm. That would have been some tight buttocks across Twickenham for a long period of time in that game. A shame that the Fijians couldn't convert their tries and maybe just stay in it.
The key moment for that game is they have a try chalked off.
Yeah.
Their halfback goes through, and as he's sliding over, he just kind of like transitions the ball and loses it just before it changes hands. Because that was the tit for tat, and that broke the pattern. That one got chalked off, and then England scored next. So it was back to back, England scores, and then they just ran away with it.
A little bit of like, oh, fuck, we're fucked now. And then it was just a bit of a.
So that was unfortunate.
Bit of a procession from there.
Fiji gave it a good crack.
Yeah, they gave it a good crack. I don't think the scorecard really represents how tight that game was, to be honest.
No, it was just the same thing, better team over the last 20.
Yeah. Bit of a theme this week.
Yeah. And then the game that was played at the same time.
Which it was tough because it was like, I kept on expecting, okay, one of these games is just going to be like, okay, I know that's the result.
I can turn that one off. Yeah. But not really.
This is when I was in struggle street.
You're hungover.
I was like, oh God, kill me. And I was like, oh, this should be enjoyable, but I just was not in a happy place. But the Italians, boy oh boy. They turned up, and a couple of Aussies really, really, really...
The Aussies are looking tired.
Yeah, they are looking tired, but I mean, there were a couple of Aussies in the the Italian team were the ones that really, really...
They're two wingers, Monte Ioane and Louis Leiner.
Yeah.
Got both their tries.
Yeah. Ioane looks fucking great.
He's been good for years.
Has there ever been a human being that has more tattoos than him?
Probably somewhere, but he's got lots of tattoos.
Yeah, geez Louise. He looked great. He looks like he's kind of could be a world-class kind of guy.
What's concerning is how lacking penetration the Aussie attack is. And, I mean, one of the Aussie guys mentioned that, like, we're missing Tate McDermott, like, in terms of attacking halfbacks. He's right up there. Their 10 situation is still horrendous. Like, you got Carter Gordon just come back from rugby league, like, have a crack at the Italians, mate. Like, fucking hell. Like, that's obviously not ideal. They got no Ikitau because they agreed with his club that they were going to rest him. Like, their wingers, like, Peach and Jorgensen have both had viruses, so they're ill. Like, Tom Wright's long-term injury. They just don't have the depth.
Yeah, they don't. We saw them scraping, you know, getting the best out of their kettle of players
like at Ellis Park
and also a bit during the Lions,
but it's like Ellis
getting Will Skelton and all those players.
Ellis Park was like the peak, and it's just
it almost feels like an Aussie 15. It's a real shame considering Argentina, that you feel like they kind of got the Aussie public on their side for a bit there, and they're probably undoing a lot of that, losing to Italy. Not to give shit to Italy, but. There was a did you see the try to Carter Gordon that came from the strip to
did you see the reaction of the Italian coach Gonzalo Cassano? He's kicking the wall. The shit out of the wall.
Yeah, because they were like because the commentators seemed to feel as though that was pretty hard done by.
One of the commenters on the review of that game mentioned the specific law. And was like, well, by the rules of the law, it's like that's a strip if he's done that and he's ripped it loose. But I was like, it felt like he went for the strip, and then the ball.
Well, slips. I felt like he went for the strip, and the captain
Wilson.
Wilson's in it. He goes to the strip, and Wilson is rolling forward at the time, so he goes to the strip, and then it hits Wilson's torso, and which it just propels it forward.
That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, but torso is not. So he strips, and then the ball hits his torso. Torso's not a knock-on.
Mm.
So, I don't know.
It felt like a bit of a dodgy one, but it didn't cost anyone the game.
I would not have been I wouldn't have been upset if it was called a knock-on. I've been I can see that, you know. But the fact it wasn't, I was like, well, I guess it's an argument. But an entertaining game.
Yeah.
Lots of good rugby in that game too.
Italians kick their penalties, and then they seem to be fired up after the Wilson try, to be fair.
Yeah, the crowd seemed to be right in it as well. The Italian crowd giving it all that, which was great to see. But just sad from an Australian perspective. Like, yeah. Fuck it. They do look tired.
They got Ireland next. And it's like, you would have rather beaten Italy. And then...
They're not that team that beat South Africa now, are they?
No.
Right now. They're not that team that was ran the
Lions close in that series. No.
They really, really need all their A-grade players available at one time. Hopefully they can get their ducks in a row for next year and then the World Cup, obviously.
New coach next year too.
Yeah, it's a sad way for Schmidty to kind of go out. Do you have him any hope against a somewhat stuttering Ireland team next week?
If they can't beat Italy, I don't see them beating Ireland, but... I mean,
strange things have happened. Yeah. Unlikely.
Ireland will be massive, massive favourites for that one. But yeah, I'm just concerned with how lacking penetration the Aussie attack is. It's just, they had a shitload more carries than the Italians. But
it was a bad game for, what the fuck's wrong with my brain? I cannot
think. Tony Edman.
Yeah.
Carter Gordon. Harry Wilson.
No.
Rob Valentini.
He came back from league.
Carter Gordon.
No.
Jake Gordon.
No. He used to be a league player.
Joseph Suoli. Came back from league. Could be more than one guy.
Joseph Suoli.
Got a yellow card for a big high shot.
Yeah. And I don't think he's looked...
He's not looked like how he has potentially looked, has he?
Yeah, he's a great fucking athlete. Yeah. But... It's hard when you don't have space and don't have the athletes around you to be able to also be a threat, because he's also, people know that, hey, he's got something about him, so they shut him down. And
that's it.
They've worked out good ways to keep him quiet. Just not dominant in the carry, it feels. And just, pretty passive as well in defense. It looks tired. In fact, apart from McWright, who still plays out of his fucking socks every week.
He still won three turnovers.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Speaking of poor guys, Jack Morgan.
Oh.
He played the house down for Wales, and they still got pumped 52-28 by Argentina. It's a record loss to Argentina.
It's like Jack Morgan versus Wales.
Yeah. They need Jack Morgan and Fraser McWright to like have a few beers together and just like have a cry.
Yeah, have a cry and just go,
I'm pretty good.
I've had 8 turnovers.
Scored a try, set up a try. 21
tackles. Scored 40-minute try. Held up 3 people across the line.
We still got pumped by 35 points. It's rough.
Yeah.
To be fair, and someone mentioned
Pocock and Hooper are the bar guide.
Someone mentioned to me, like, one of the Argentinian fans, like, you don't seem very happy. And maybe it was because I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
But I was hoping Wales would be better than that. New coach, they had Rhys Sammet back, they had Adam Baird, the big lock, back, they got Jack Morgan back from Lions duty, Thomas Williams back from Lions duty, like, I was thinking, like, I got Dan Edwards, maybe this is the guy.
Is there any green shoots that you can see to give you hope?
They scored 28 points.
Still packed out Millennium?
It wasn't 100% sold out.
Pretty decent,
yeah. But, I mean, Argentina had a really rookie 9-10 combo.
Really?
Yeah. So Priscantelli. Like, have you heard of him? Geronimo Priscantelli.
It's a hell of a name.
Anyone named Geronimo.
Do you remember that hot...
I don't know if it's correct pronunciation.
Have you seen the Hot Shots 2 or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Part deux.
Yeah, part deux, where they...
they're jumping out of the plane.
They're jumping out of the plane. Geronimo! Me! Yeah, then he jumps out and goes, me!
That's a good old joke as well for you oldies out there.
Yeah.
I like the part where he's got the M60. He's like more kills than like.
Yeah, exactly. And then it goes through all the movies that officially the bloodiest movie of all time.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen killing it. It's very funny.
But yeah, Argentina. Did you see the game? Did you see the highlights? It was on like 4 in the morning on a Monday morning.
I saw the highlights. I'm not waking up.
Like, there's one moment, I don't know if you saw it, but like Wales conceded a try.
Yeah.
They kicked the restart It goes to Pablo Matera. He just fucking runs through half the Welsh team directly from the restart.
I think
kicks a long kick for Mateo Quiridos, and he scores a try. It's like immediate try. You immediately can see the line break, and this friggin' loose forward is kicking a hell of a footballer's kick for the winger to score.
Yeah, I did see that.
Wales on kick return were generally quite terrible.
What had Rhys Samet look like?
Yeah, he coughed up a few balls from the bench.
Looks like he hasn't been playing this sport for a couple of years.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, he had a few moments, but still coughed up a few balls, got put into touch.
So Tandy's got a way to go.
He's got a way to go. But Argentina, I don't mean to look down on, like, be down for you guys. You guys played really well.
But these are two teams that you think not long ago.
The thing is, you look at Wales, Argentina, and you're like, that's a good matchup, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at the world rankings for this week's games, the biggest mismatch was Ireland, Japan.
Yeah.
The second biggest mismatch was Argentina, Wales, because of the gap between them in the world rankings.
Argentina, Wales. So where's Argentina?
It's like 6th against 12th.
And what is the, and we're second at the moment. Are we second?
Second, yeah. Against Scotland, who are seventh, but the distance between our points was less. So this was just a mismatch game, and it proved to be. Argentina's just too good.
Shit, what's the
Mateo Carreras, Delgi, all these guys played electric. Priscantelli, like I said.
Feels as though we've been waiting a long time for some sort of rebuilding phase that doesn't really
They tried to- Pivac, they tried Gatland. Then they tried, what was the name of the temporary coach? And then they got Tandy in now. Like, it's a bit of a poison chalice at the moment.
And it seems to be like, there seems to be a lot wrong with the union and a lot of uneasiness and unknowing in terms of what's going to happen with the future. And these
results on the field aren't going to help, man.
No.
Mm.
Also, like, young people watching it, they're going, do I want to grow up and play rugby?
Or would I rather play soccer, football?
Yeah, would I rather play for Wrexham? You know, I can hang out with movie stars that way.
Maybe.
Holy fuck, Knuckle. What a good round of rugby, though.
Good round of rugby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can
no real duds.
Can I play everyone's favorite game, but for a different competition?
What competition?
It is called something, but I don't know the exact name. It's the final. There's four teams competing for the final spot in the Rugby World Cup 2027.
Oh, the Ripper Chargers.
The Ripper Chargers. It's not called the Ripper Chargers. It's like the final qualification tournament or something like that.
Right.
Do you know the results?
No.
Okay. So Samoa played Brazil.
Now, look.
Brazil initially didn't make it to this tournament. They lost to Paraguay.
Okay.
But Paraguay fielded an illegal player, so they volunteered to say, no, we fielded an illegal guy, so we're going to withdraw ourselves.
Somebody does something.
I know. It wasn't Spain this time for a change.
I'm going to have to say Samoa.
They did. They got it done 48 points to 10.
All right.
Pretty comfortable. Samoa. And the other game
But if you told me Brazil, that's how bad things are for Samoa rugby. If you said Brazil got up, I'd been like, oh, fucking typical.
The other one was Belgium. Who are the European team in this Ripper Charge up against Namibia, who are the African team.
Namibia have a lot of players of Springbok-y sort of.
They lost to Zimbabwe in the African qualifiers. Belgium were behind like Georgia, Portugal, all the other kind of second tier European teams.
Those are strong teams though. Like in terms of those comps.
Second tier teams for sure.
Second tier, losing to Portugal and Georgia.
It's different from losing to Zimbabwe.
Georgia beats Wales for fuck's sake.
Mm.
I can see Portugal beating Wales at the moment. And Namibia is beating who? Zimbabwe.
They lost to Zimbabwe. That's why they're in this tournament.
They lost to Zimbabwe. And Zimbabwe, I don't remember the last time I saw them in anything significant.
I think they played in like 87.
Okay, so that's fucking a long time ago.
Mm.
I'm going to go Belgium.
Yeah, they won. 22 points to 15. 2 from 2. Look at that guy. They are going to play the next round of that one. It's going to be Samoa, Brazil, and then Namibia again. No, Samoa, Namibia, and then Belgium, Brazil. It feels like it's going to be a shootout between Samoa and Belgium.
Yeah, okay. All right. Any more games? Or is that?
That's it. Oh, just wow. those four teams.
All right.
Next week.
Yes.
We are playing England.
That's huge.
Because we got Wales last. I feel like we're going to beat Wales.
You would think so.
But England's going to be tough.
England is going to be tough.
Mm.
Really looking forward to it.
That's going to be a cracking game.
It's going to be awesome.
I reckon.
We can wear black. They can wear white.
Hey.
Everything's going to be fine.
Well, this week we had New Zealand in white, South Africa in white. Italy, no, they were wearing blue.
Is that keeping you happy?
England were in white. Yeah.
Beaumont, you blind bastard.
I think England might kick the leather off the ball.
Because they think we've got
a week under the aerial game.
Especially if our back three is unsettled.
Mm. Especially no Caleb.
Yeah. Which I think he's been playing pretty well.
I think England are looking all right.
Yeah. And well, I was saying Caleb Clark's been playing well.
Yeah, Caleb Clark has been playing well.
Yeah, England have been. Well, I thought England looked pretty suspect for a long period of that time, but it almost felt like there wasn't a huge amount of. They were resting quite a few players over the weekend when they were playing.
They did. Like, I told you, I was on the bench and I had a bit of a niggle, so.
Getting the rest up. Now it'll be a massive clash. Massive, massive clash.
Ireland are playing Australia.
Aussie will probably lose that one.
I would say so, too. There is a big clash between Wales and Japan. I say big because in the world rankings, Wales are 12th, Japan are 13th.
Wow.
And that's the difference between being a second seed at the next World Cup or a third seed. And if Wales lose, they go behind Japan. And their final two games to get points before the World Cup draw is us. Ooh. And the Springboks.
Oh, shit.
They probably need to win that game.
But
Japan's not on a good run. They lost to Fiji in the Pacific Nations Cup. They lost to Australia. They lost to Ireland.
I'm going to give it... I reckon it's a pick'em. I really honestly really think it's a 50-50 game. I think
that could be one of the games of the weekend.
But I'll give it to Wales.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wales can get it done at home. There is France against Fiji.
France. Hopefully Fiji puts up a good game.
Italy, game. South Africa.
The Saffish.
And then the last one, Scotland. This is on the Monday for us, Sunday over there. Scotland against Argentina. That could be another cracker.
Mm.
That one's also really interesting in terms of the world rankings because Argentina are sixth, Scotland are seventh.
Scotland might have just used all their mental and emotional energy.
On us?
Might lose to RG.
Mm.
Might win too, but I wouldn't be surprised if they lost.
That one should be a cracker.
Should be a cracker. And you, one thing we know about Argentina, you discount them at your own peril.
Also, they tend to lose after they win. So
Maybe
they're due for a stinker.
Maybe they're due for a stinker. All right, Mark.
There was some rugby chat.
There was some rugby chat.
In white.
Two men in white, talking about teams who won in white, other than Italy. And
Argentina kind of blue and white.
Yeah, there's definitely white in there.
Look at that. We got some white guys on the team.
All right, fantastic. Good on you, Mark. Well done coming here after your dancing.
I know.
We didn't talk about your dancing at all.
Dancing up a storm.
He's a professional dancer. Anyway, hooroo, ta-ta, bye-bye.
Take care, folks.